Salvation is available to all. And Jesus said, I believe it's Luke 19:10, he said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Everybody look up here for just a minute. I'm not going to have you turn in your Bibles just yet. But I'm not preaching necessarily a salvation message today, just about being saved, but you can be saved. And God wants you to be saved. He wants you to go to heaven. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4, speaking about God, that He will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants you to be saved. He's done a great deal for you so that you could be saved. The Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. A mediator, someone who's in the middle. Three crosses on a hill that one day in Jerusalem, and Jesus Christ on the middle cross. And He bore our sins in His own body on the tree so that you could have eternal life, so that you could be saved. You can have it for free. It doesn't cost you anything. You cannot buy it. You don't deserve it. We cannot earn it. Amen. It's free to us, but it's because Jesus paid the price for us. He left heaven. He came down to this sin-cursed earth and walked among men, and He did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He lived a perfect, sinless life, and then He allowed wicked men to take Him and nail Him to a cross. And on the cross, God took your sins and my sins, even though you hadn't been born yet. And He laid your sins upon Jesus Christ, all of them, past, present, and future. The sin of the world was laid upon Jesus, and He suffered a substitutionary death in our place. He died for me. He died in my place. I don't have to go to hell and pay for my sins. I don't have to, because someone has already done it for me, and that's Jesus. And I have accepted Him as my Savior. And if you'll accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you'll receive Him, you can ask Him. If you believe that you're a sinner and you're lost and you need to be saved, you can ask Him to be your Savior, to come into your heart and to be your Savior. You can be saved today. So remember that as I'm talking to you this morning about mothers for just a little while. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the first book in the Bible, be Genesis chapter number 2. I'll just read one verse for you, and then I have about five places that I want you to turn as we move along here, and I'll try not to be long this morning because I know we're all getting hungry. We're all getting hungry. I'm addicted to food, aren't you? I have to have some food every once in a while. I've already got it planned out, what we're going to have. My wife already told me what she wanted, so we're going to go get some. Miss Wynn, we're going over and get a teriyaki chicken rice bowl, or however you say it, rice chicken teriyaki, one of those things, you know. We're going over there and get one, and we're going to take it home and pig out. That's what we're going to do. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 24, the first time the word mother is used in the Bible. It says in verse 24 of Genesis chapter 2, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Let us pray. Father, we thank You today, God, for Your goodness and kindness toward us. We thank You, Lord, for our mothers. Thank You for mothers that are here. Thank You, God, Father, for good women, mothers who work hard, raise their children. God, help us to be a blessing to them. Help us to be a blessing to You today. Father, bless these words and help me as I try to preach this morning. May the Spirit of God open our eyes and lead us and guide us into all truth. And I'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. That's the first time the word mother is used in the Bible. Here you have the basis, it's what I call it, the basis of society and the basis for the human race, and especially for the family. That's what you have right here in this verse. You have a man and a wife, and then you have a father and a mother. That's what you have to have there, see. We could not have a human race, society, or a family without these four people, a man and a wife, a father and a mother. This is God's plan, and it cannot be improved upon. You cannot get by without these kinds of things, you see. If a man doesn't take a wife, and they do not become a father and a mother, then the human race would cease to exist in just a couple of generations. You ever thought about that? How about what would happen if all the births were stopped today? How long would it take? The planet would be vacant in 100 years. In 100 years, maybe a few more years after that, you know, depend on how long people live. But if people stopped having babies today, then the human race would cease to exist. We'd be all gone. It takes a husband and it takes a wife. There's a lot of people in our society today, they're against traditional marriage and traditional homes. But you know what? If we didn't have traditional marriage and traditional homes, they probably wouldn't be here. They probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't for those two things. That means a young man. A young man finds a young woman. They fall in love and get married and they have children, and that's God's plan to perpetuate the human race. Nothing else will work, you see. And God is the one who established that. It didn't just happen. It didn't come to pass through something like evolution. God planned it that way. That's the way God made it. Turn in your Bibles over to in chapter number 3 and look in verse number 20. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 20, it says about Adam. It says, this is the second time the word mother is used in the Bible. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And so all living humans came from Eve. It was not an accident. We did not come from animals. We did not come from apes. God gives life. The Bible says in the Gospel of John chapter 1 in verse number 4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, you see. God gives life. Life does not spring out of nothing. It's not an accident. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7, where God made Adam, he formed man of the dust of the earth. He took time and he got down with his hands and his fingers and he formed a man out of the dust of the earth. That ought to make you feel real important. We're made out of dirt. He formed a man out of the dust of the earth. But then it says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul. So there you have what man is. He's a body and he's a soul and he's a spirit. And God breathed into that man, and that's where he got his life. And that breath has come right on down to you. If God takes your breath away, then you'll die. You'll die just like that. Your breath, if it goes back to God, see, then you're gone. A body, a soul, and a spirit. And so all life comes from God. I have been blessed. I'm talking about mothers this morning, and I have been blessed to have good women, mothers, in my life. My mother died years ago, a few years ago, wasn't that long ago, but she's a little bitty woman. She only got up to be about five foot tall, and I don't think she ever weighed 100 pounds, but she did a mountain of work in her life. And she would she'd get on a job, and she couldn't, you know, she didn't have all that much strength because she's so little. She was sick a lot of her life. She didn't complain a whole lot, but she'd just get on that, and she'd just work on something like that, just work and work and work, and she'd finally get it done. She taught herself how to paint. She was an artist. We've got paintings all over our house, and all of my sisters have paintings in their house. She painted them. She taught herself how to paint when she's over 60 years old. And we have all those paintings. I have my mother, my wife, and my two daughters. See, I won't spend a lot of time here. I'd start crying if I were to talk about them very much. But the way I would describe my mother and my wife and my daughters, Nicole and Amber, for those of you who don't know, I got four kids, two boys and two girls. The way I would describe them is this, that they are fiercely loyal to their calling as a mother. That's how I would describe them. My wife was telling me, and by the way, my wife's mother, she's a wonderful mother. She died back in, I don't know what, I believe it was about 1998. I know my wife misses her a lot. She was one of those old-fashioned, she never did even learn how to drive. She couldn't even drive a car. And my wife said that she was about 13 or 14 years old before she ever came home to an empty house. Can you imagine that? She's like 13, 14 years old. She played with dolls when she was 13, 14 years old. She told me that she had just quit playing with dolls when we got married. She just quit playing with dolls. You know what? Young people today, they grow up too fast. You should let your kids be kids. Keep them little and keep them innocent as long as you can. You can tell when kids lose their innocence. They don't need to lose their innocence. They see all this junk on television. They see all this stuff on television. You see, by the time they're 6, 7 years old, why, they know everything out there. Don't do that to your kids. Don't make them grow up. Don't make them grow up. Let them be kids. Let the girls play with dolls. Yeah, I believe in girls being feminine and boys being masculine. Amen. You know the difference between boys and girls, don't you? Let's see, how does it go? Girls, I guess it slipped my mind. Boys, hammers and nails and puppy dog tails. And girls are sugar and spice and everything nice. You know, I believe in all that kind of old-fashioned stuff. Amen. You know, boys being boys and girls. When I was growing up, I never made up a bed in my life. I never picked up my mother, she did all that kind of stuff. I worked outside. I worked with the cows. I got up and fed the cows. I didn't know nothing. I don't know how to cook to this day. And see, I believe in boys being boys and girls being, and you better believe that too. You better believe those kinds of things. That's the way God made it. That's the way God made it, you see. My wife said, yeah, I told you, whenever she came home to an empty house, she's 13, 14 years old, and she said she went berserk. She didn't know what to do. She'd never been in a house by herself. And her mother came home, and she's all worried. I knew she's going to get home before I got back, and she's all worried about it, you know. Amen. God has put something in women so that they will protect their children. Would that be true, ladies? Wouldn't you'd do anything for your kids? I know mothers that when I was a kid, I wasn't a kid. I was 45 years old, but I always felt like I was a kid when I was around my mom and daddy. Did you ever feel like that? You still feel like a little boy? You know, you're grown, but you're around your mom and dad, and you still feel like a little kid. I was out in the field one time hoeing weeds, and I was by myself, and I had walked out there, and I was way off over there in the field, and a storm came up, and my mother looked out there, and she saw me way off over there. And she went out, and she got in the car. She got in the car, and she backed out of the garage and came out looking for me. I had made my way over to the well house, and I was in the well house because it was raining and hailing. But she drove all over the field looking for her little boy. That was me. I was 45 years old. She drove all over the field looking for her little boy. That's the way mamas are. They'll do anything for their children. They want to protect their kids, you see. And that's good. That's what you ought to do. I hope you don't take this wrong, but I wanted to give you an illustration. Day before yesterday, I had a new calf. There's a black Angus calf out in the field. So I thought yesterday I should go out and get the calf and bring him up. And I went out and found him, and he was laying out in the grass, the tall grass, about this tall. I couldn't see him, but I finally found him out there. And I drove my pickup out there, and I was getting the calf. And when I woke, he was asleep. And I went over and kicked him. He's only 36 hours old. Man, you would be surprised what a calf one day old can do. I mean, man, they can do a lot. As soon as they hit the ground, they start walking. They start looking for something to eat. I wonder who put that in them. That evolution is really something, isn't it? No, it ain't evolution that does that. But anyway, I found the calf. And I started to get him up. And his mama was over there. She's a big old black cow. I mean, she's big, and she come running over there. She come running over there, and she got right up in my face, Brother Yazzie. I mean, she wasn't back like this. She was right up in my face, and she's big, and it's like she was saying, "What are you trying to do to my baby?" You know, and I was trying to get that calf up in the back of the pickup, and all my other herd of cows, about 10 of them, came running around there, and one of them's got horns. And they all come around there, they surrounded me. I thought I was going to have to call for help. And I put the little calf up in the back of the pickup. I thought his mother was going to jump up in the back of the pickup. You see, even in animals, God puts something in them to cause them to protect their baby. The cow thought I was hurting their baby. I wasn't, you know. I'm going to take it up here and put it in a pen so I can let the cow come in there and, you know, it's going to get, so he can get him some milk, you see. Because if I leave him out there, he's liable to run off and I won't know where to find him. Amen. That's a good story, wasn't it? I was hoping y'all wouldn't take it wrong. I was hoping y'all wouldn't take it wrong if I told you a story about a cow. Here's some mothers in the Bible. Here's a mother right here that I'm going to give you. If you want to turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter number 2. Exodus chapter number 2. My time is short, but let me just try to give you a couple of mothers, different mothers in the Bible. Here's a mother right here. I call her a mother of faith. A mother of faith in Exodus chapter number 2. That's the second book in the Bible. Second book in the Bible, Exodus chapter number 2. This is a mother by the name of Jochebed. And I call her a mother of faith, and she's the mother of Moses. The mother of Moses. It says in verse number 1 of Exodus chapter number 2. I hope y'all will forgive me. I'm going to pull my coat off here, give myself a little bit of help here. Maybe I can get to preaching here in a little bit. Exodus chapter number 2 in verse 1 to 10, it says there, "There went a man of the house of Levi and took to a wife a daughter of Levi." See, that's just what we're talking about over there in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. A man, and he took a wife, see. Verse number 2, "And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child," a goodly child. I'll just bet you that all of you folks in here, the first time you saw your little baby, you thought to yourself, you might have not have used the word goodly, but you looked down at that little baby and you said, "Oh, man, I know the dads did that because that's what I did. Oh, what a pretty baby." I look at my grandkids, some of them, and, "Oh, what a pretty, they're just perfect. Would you just look at them? They're so pretty." He saw that, they looked at that little baby, and it was Moses. And they said, "He's a goodly child." Everybody thinks their children are good, and you ought to. That's the right thing to do. Verse number 2, "And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." Why did they have to hide him? Because they had been forced into slavery in Egypt. And the Egyptians were killing all the boy babies, see. Sort of like, we could compare it to abortion, but they were getting rid of all the boy babies so they could wipe out the Jewish race, you see. And that's how you get rid of a race. You get rid of all the boy babies. And so they had to hide this baby that was born. They had to hide the baby that was born. She hid him until he was 3 months old. Can you just imagine? They live in a house of some sort. And when the Egyptian soldiers came around, they had to keep the little baby quiet, keep him from making noise and all that kind of stuff. All the soldiers would catch him. You know what they did to the boy babies? They picked him up by the leg and they threw him in the river. See, that's what they did to him. And they had to hide the little baby Moses, because if they didn't, the soldiers come around, they find him, then they'll kill the baby. She hid him as long as she could. She hid him for 3 months. It says in verse number 3, "And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein." Let's stop. She made for him a little ark, a boat. She sealed the thing within, it says, with slime and pitch. She made it so it would float in water. And she put a top over it, so she could put the little baby in there. You know what she was doing? She was protecting her baby. She was protecting her baby. Let me tell you something, folks. Everybody look up here. For your children, You need to protect your children. You need to protect your children from the world out there. When my kids was growing up, I didn't want them to hear anything bad. I'm sorry that they hear things bad. But you need to do all that you can, all that you can to protect your children and raise them for God, you see. Feed them God's word and don't let them, the devil wants to get them and ruin their life, you see. So you need to protect them. She made for her little child. She made an ark for it. And then she had to go by faith. She had to go by faith. Look, it says in verse number 3, and when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, daubed it with slime and pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. You know what happened? She made the ark, a little protection. She put the baby in it. She took him out there to where she knew that Pharaoh's daughter was going to be coming. She knew that. She took that little ark and she put it in the river and she let it go. Folks, one day you're going to have to let your children go. You need to raise them up, but one day you'll have to say, okay, you're going to go and you're going to, I hate to tell you folks that, but you have to do that. You have to let your kids go. You have to put them in God's hands. But you know what? You want to keep your hand on them as long as you can. You want to keep your hand on them as long as you can and help them, but you have to give them a little bit of freedom, a little bit of freedom, a little bit of freedom, and then you have to let them go. And you raised them right, and you put them in God's hands, and they'll be okay. They'll be okay. She made a little protective. She made an ark. She put it in the river. She says, okay, there it goes. She let them go, you see. Teach them as long as you can. By the way, you need to be active in teaching your children. It is not enough just to bring them to Sunday school. I want you to do that. I thank God for every time you bring your children to Sunday school. Don't leave it up to somebody else. You need to teach your kids yourself. Moms and dads, you need to teach your kids the Bible. They need to have the Word of God hidden in their heart. It may save their life one of these days to have the Word of God in their heart. Hidden in their heart, written upon the tables of their heart, the Bible says. If you'll do that, teach them discipline. You must discipline them, you see. If you don't, the Bible says, one day, if they don't obey you, one day they won't obey the teacher. And then after that, one day they won't obey the policeman. They won't obey things out there, and you can imagine what's going to happen to them. You must teach them discipline. If you don't teach them discipline, if you don't discipline your children, then they won't have self-discipline. You see, some people, they can't discipline themselves. They got to be in a controlled environment, if you know what I mean. They get outside of that controlled environment, then they can't handle it. And they go haywire, you see. She let that little child go. It says in verse number 4, his mother, his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. Verse number 5, the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along beside. Now I'm going to have to cut it short here because I've got another one I want to show you. But I wanted to show you there that she let that little child go, and she took it by faith that God was going to take it on down there. And Pharaoh's daughter came and took that and raised Moses up. And the mother got to come in and take care of her own son. It's in the story. Let me show you one more here before we stop here in a little bit. Go over to 1 Samuel chapter number 1, and here's another mother. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. I probably just should have took one there, but 1 Samuel chapter number 1. And here's a mother here by the name of Hannah. Hannah. And I called her a mother of prayer. That first mother was a mother of faith, and this is a mother of prayer. Look at verse number 6 of 1 Samuel chapter number 1. Verse number 6, it says, verse number 5 and 6, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. She didn't have any children, see. And her adversary also provoked her sore to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. Now here's a woman here who wanted a child, but she couldn't have any, see? Look over to verse number 10 and 11. It's talking about Hannah. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. In verse number 7, she vowed a vow. That is, she made a promise to God and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of mine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. So she made a vow to God. She made a promise. She said, Lord, if you'll give me a child, she didn't have one. If you'll give me a child, I'll raise him up for you. I'll raise him up for you. Folks, here's the point. You need to raise your children up for the Lord. There's a lot of evil out there in this world. But you must work hard at it. That's why God gave you to that child. And he gave that child to you to raise them. Not just to sit in front of a television set. Not sit in front of a big screen television set and sit there and goof around and fill up their mind. And when they're grown, all they know how to do is punch buttons. You see, you can do better than that. You see, don't raise your children like that. You got to work at it. You got to work at it. You got to work hard at it to teach and to raise your children and raise them for the Lord. If you want your children to be blessed and your life to be blessed, then raise your children up for the Lord. She did that. That was Hannah, and she prayed for him. Look over in verse number 27 of the same chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 27. She had the child. Verse 27, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Now look at verse 28. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. He shall be lent to the Lord, and he worship the Lord there. Amen. So that's a woman of prayer. Let me show you just one more. If you go to the New Testament, go to the book of Matthew, chapter number 15. Matthew chapter number 15. Here's another mother. Here's another mother. Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 21. Matthew 15 and verse number 21, it says this. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy upon me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. So here's a woman who is not a Jew. She's not of the Jew. She's not a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus Christ is a Jew. Jesus came for the Jews first, but here's a woman who's not a Jew. She comes out and she finds Jesus. She said, Lord Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me because my daughter, she's a mother. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. There's a devil that's bothering her daughter. Verse number 23, look what happened. And he answered her not a word. He just walked on. He didn't say a word to her. He answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. So she cries. She crieth after us in verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, I can't help you right now. I'm just sent to the Jews now. Verse 25, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. He didn't do nothing. Verse 26, he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Let's stop right there. Cast it to the dogs? Well, she's a Gentile. If y'all know the difference between a Gentile, a Jew, and a Gentile. He said, look, you're a Gentile. I can't help you right now. You're like one of the dogs. You know, it'll take us a long time to explain that, but that's what he called her. So you're like one of the dogs, a Gentile dog. I can't help you. So here's a mother. She's taken time, Brother Yazzie, to go and find Jesus. She came from a long distance. And she finally finds him, and she said, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. My daughter's here, and she's vexed, grievously vexed with the devil. And Jesus, he just walks on. Have you ever prayed and it seemed like God, he wasn't paying a bit of attention to you? That's what's happening here. Jesus not paying a bit of attention to her, see. But she didn't leave. She didn't turn around and leave. Whenever you don't get what you need first, don't leave. Don't stop talking to God. Verse number 24, he answered and said, I have not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. That's her second request. Verse 26, but he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread. The children's bread, that is, he came to help the Jewish people. He said, I can't give it to you. You're like a Gentile dog. Verse 27, but she said, truth, Lord. You know what she said? She said, you're right, Lord, I am a Gentile dog. That's what she said. I am. You're right, I'm a Gentile dog. She said, but don't the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table? She said, Lord, I know I'm a Gentile and you're a Jew. But if I'm a dog, then there should be some crumbs fall off the table and I'll take that. I'll just take the crumbs. I'll take the crumbs. Couldn't you help me, Lord? Couldn't you help me? Couldn't you help me, Lord? Verse number 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Now here's a woman who refused to take no for an answer. She said, look, I'll just take the crumbs that fall off the table. She said, I know I'm a Gentile dog. I know I don't deserve anything. I'm not a Jew. I'm not one of your chosen people. But I'll just take whatever crumbs that you can throw my way. Couldn't you help me just a little bit, Lord? She refused to take no for an answer. You know what Jesus said? O woman, great is thy faith. That's what he called great faith. She refused to take no for an answer. If you need something, you don't have to settle for the crumbs today. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. You don't have to settle for the crumbs. He bought you and paid for you full, free salvation. It's not just crumbs. Now there, she said, I'll just take anything. But you folks, you don't have to settle for crumbs. Jesus died on the cross for you. And he paid the full price for you. Jesus answered and said unto her, verse 28, O woman, great is thy faith. Wouldn't you like to have great faith? Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You see, there's a woman there who came and she had a problem with her daughter. And she said, I'm not leaving here till I get, if I just have to settle for crumbs, I'll take the crumbs. I'll take the crumbs. But you know what? You don't have to settle for crumbs today. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that you could have eternal life. He paid the full price. It is complete. It is free. It is fully paid. Jesus Christ paid for our eternal life. It never ends. It is called the gift of God. Jesus paid for it with his blood, and he wants you to be saved.